Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome, everybody, to the Playmaker Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking a lot about sales operations and how to scale and build a successful sales operations team. Now, to do that, we brought on a guest that I had a couple interactions with, came to our Accelerate show. This was last year. Does live a little bit outside of the continental United States. We'll get into that in just a minute. So I'll welcome on Gideon Forey, who is currently the Vice President of Sales Strategy and Operations at First Data Corporations. Gideon, how the heck are you?
Gabe, really good. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good, good. I know it's a little different time. He's probably getting close to ending his day. Well, we're just getting ready to start ours. But Gideon, I did a brief introduction, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the things you guys do over there at First Data.
Sure. Thanks, Gabe. So I'm responsible for sales operations for our businesses in EMEA and Asia Pacific. EMEA, Europe, Middle East, Africa, and then, as I said, our businesses a bit more to the east. I've been with First Data approximately 9 years. First Data, I think it's not a very well-known business outside the B2B space. We're the largest payments company in the world. We operate in 36 countries around the globe, of which I support the 34 of those.
Yeah, and which we're going to get into in a minute. I mean, you know, it's one thing to manage a team who sits next to you. It's another to manage 35 different regions that have a lot of different flavors and unique characteristics. So we'll get into that in just a minute. Before we do, I always like to put people on the spot outside of work, anything you're passionate about or hobbies, any fun plans for the holiday season that you have?
Well, okay, let me try and combine the two. So I do like to do things outdoors, and I'm really looking forward to skiing in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, nice. Where do you typically go for that? Certainly not near Frankfurt, right?
No. Frankfurt. There's not much. We're planning to go to Italy to an area called the South Tyrol, ski in the Dolomites.
Oh, fun!
Really beautiful part of the world.
So wow,
that keeps me going for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's everything's starting to slow down here as we approach this end of year. You know, one of the things I loved about living in Germany, you and I were talking about this just a little bit before, was that Christmas season and some of those Weihnachtsmärkte were just fantastic. The Christmas stuff, you know, they just really, in some of those smaller towns, it's fantastic. We just do not have that. We have kind of the big commercial stuff here in the U.S. and big department stores. But man, when you go around Germany, I just remember some of those small towns, they just were so cool when it came to Christmas and some of these small markets and people selling different stuff.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. It really makes it a really wonderful experience being here in December.
I stepped out
of the office a couple of hours ago for lunch, and you can as you walk down the main street, you can actually smell the mulled wine. The Glühwein. Unfortunately, being office hours.
That's right.
All I could do was smell it.
I won't tell if you won't tell, Gideon. No, I'm teasing. It's such a great memory though, because it really does make Christmas magical. One other question before we jump in, thinking if you ran into a leader there, you know, maybe as you walk around the Fußgängerzone or whatever, you know, there in Germany, and you run into a salesperson or a sales leader, and they said, hey, you've been successful in your career, you're doing great stuff. Any words of wisdom you'd pass on, you know, one piece of advice that maybe has been something that's really helped you be successful in your career?
I'd say you probably need to really understand the fundamentals of the business that you're selling. You need to understand the business objective that you're trying to reach. If you if you're selling something, you know, you need to understand how this is going to contribute towards your client's own success story. Hmm. Instead of just focusing on features of what you're selling, if you can really get into someone's mind and explain to him and sell to him, how it's going to transform his business. I think you've got it made.
Yeah, interesting.
I would also say, yeah.
It does seem like people when they. You know, especially as we go into this consultative sales world where, you know, there's so much value people can get, obviously, from a product, even like yourself, the more of an expert you are, the more that you understand your business, the more you understand your customer's business, it can really make a difference.
Absolutely.
Now, do you feel like I want to shift here and get into this conversation? Now, you mentioned, obviously, your background's kind of in sales operations. You've been doing that for a while, been at First Data for almost 10 years, 9 years, I think you said. You mentioned 30, did you say 35 countries? Is that correct, that you currently have operations in?
We have operations in 36 countries. 36. around the globe. In my specific role, I'm responsible for sales operations that supports 34 of those 36 countries.
Got it.
So essentially everything south of the US and Canada, and so in other words, excluding the US and Canada, and to the west. So just to give an idea of the type of countries that we're talking about, you know, in Europe, we've got fairly big businesses in the UK, in Ireland, in Germany, in Poland, in Greece. We've got very significantly growing businesses in South America, Brazil, Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, and then going further east. We've got a very well-established, long-established business in Australia. Got business in Korea. Got businesses in India and in China, for instance.
Wow.
And my sales operations function. You know, we're responsible for supporting the sales in those countries and
across those regions. Feel so? I assume you're traveling a little bit. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I do.
You got to get out and visit some of those places. Now, when it comes to First Data, one other kind of wrinkle I wanted to throw in there was you guys have some interesting kind of different go-to-market strategies. You have some products and kind of something that tailors more to the small business. Then you got some larger business. Can you just kind of paint that picture so we get the whole context?
So the one thing which sort of like really sets First Data aside from I'd say almost most payment companies in the world is we play across the entire payments value chain. So as a result of it, our clients include, amongst others, large banks. They include large retailers, but at the other side of the scale, our clients also include small. I want to say your typical small mom and pop shops that we offer payment solutions to. As a result of it, you have a very different sales cycle and sales approach to these businesses. You know, obviously, in the case of your small businesses, our go-to-market approach you've got a very short cycle, a very short sales cycle. You know, it could be a couple of hours. You start talking about our large clients, and we're talking about a sales cycle that can be anything up to 18 months. Yeah. So you have the sales engine, which is. By the way, and there's also a lot of businesses in between as well. You know, it's not just playing at the two extremes. You know,
okay,
there's everything in between. You know, and that's kind of one of the challenges we have is how do you support a sales force that has to operate, you know, across these different dimensions.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of what I want. I was kind of teasing out. I mean, you know, we've had sales operations leaders on here, and we've had global leaders of sales. You've got a big reach. You've got a lot going on. And again, it's not just multiple countries that have all of their differences, obviously, with kind of customer bases and how people perceive the buying journey. But you add in the different product sets and SMB and short sales cycles and long sales cycles. At a high level, I mean, how do you think about tackling that challenge? I mean, do you come up with an overarching strategy? Is it by country? Do you dive into it? How do you start thinking through managing that type of operation?
You have to have various strategies. You have to have a very segmented approach for the different parts of the businesses. It's not a one size fits all, you know. That's what we do, you know. So we break it up into the different, let's call it, we into the different market segments that we go after, whether it be corporate or whether it be SMB or mid market, what the case is. So you have a different approach for each. In some cases, our approach includes using partners. In some cases, it includes us going approaching the businesses directly. And then I think what also, you know, as an angle to it is, you know, you do have the, what do you call it, the cultural overlay or the international overlay, that the same approach necessarily doesn't work in all countries. You know, for various reasons, but you know, also culturally how one engages and how one sells in certain countries, you know, are fundamentally different from others. Wow. The way that the sales forces tick, you know how you need to incentivize your sales forces and how you need to empower your sales forces. You know how they respond to technology, for instance. What technology do you put in their hands? I'll give you a really good example of this, you know, just not from the technology side, but it really illustrates it, is that, you know, we were looking at putting a let's call it an app based CRM system, mm-hmm. you know, in the hands of our salespeople. Until we figured out that in certain countries, the typical salespeople that we were employing, either did not have a mobile phone, and if they had a mobile phone, it wasn't a smartphone. You know, it sounds a little bit, you know, it changes, of course. I mean, you know, that was 4 years ago. You know, 4 years down the road, you know, that has changed. But that's the type of challenge that you have.
Do you feel like, Gideon, that? It sounds like you do. You kind of have to go for a country approach, and then also a customer base, again, whether it's more SMB or large business. As you've kind of built this global organization, is there a couple lessons that you feel like you've learned that have said, hey, you know, this is the best way to grow and scale kind of a big or larger organization that supports a sales team like First Data?
Yes. I think there are a couple, you know. I mean, I think, you know, the first is what we spoke about a few minutes ago, is you can't take a global approach. You know, you have to take a segmented approach.
Yeah.
You have to have a very fundamental understanding of the specific markets in which you operate. You know, some things are, you know, I spoke about, you know, let's call it customs, or if you want to call it, you know, the business culture, for instance, you know, is one. The other things, such as regulations, for instance, mm-hmm. you've got different regulatory environments, which drive how you, for instance, can sell. In other words, you know, I think especially after the global financial crisis, especially certain partners of ours have been a lot more careful about how they incentivize their staff as to how to sell to you know, especially because it's regarded as a financial services product in some cases. How are you allowed to sell financial services to a client in a way that's in his interest? So put it into a single sentence. I think probably the big lesson is that, you know, one size doesn't fit all. You know, you do have to take a segmented approach. The one thing as well, I mean, you made a point about, you know, you said you've got, you know, you've got these two dimensions. You know, you've got the country and you've got the, let's call it the segment, the market segment. But you've actually got a third dimension as well, which is the product that you're selling. What I also didn't mention, of course, is we sell different products to different businesses,
right?
And again, you know, the product itself, you know, has an impact on how you sell it and how you pitch it.
Absolutely, that's a great point. So those are kind of the three areas, though, that you would point to on really how to start to think about running these different types of strategies in the different locations: the location, product, and segment. Those are kind of the three things that probably are pretty fundamental to the ongoing strategy. Correct.
Yeah. Can I make it more complicated?
Please,
there's actually a fourth one.
Please.
And the fourth one is your sales channel. Which determines, you know, which I suppose maybe it's a function of it's a function of your country, product, or segment, but you have also different channels that we use to go to market.
Give us maybe a couple examples just so we can kind of nail that down. Go ahead.
So the channel I would think about, the one could be your direct sales force. Another channel, which let's call it your outside sales. The other one could be your inside sales, your telesales. But what we also find is, in order to really get scale, is you need to partner. You need to partner with other businesses that are trying to address similar challenges within the same market segments. So you have that angle as well. Where you're not dealing with your own sales, but you're dealing with partner sales.
Wow. So channel. Yeah. You got partner sales, or you got actual channel sales. You've obviously got a field team. Yeah. You have a telesales. So overlay that. And when it comes to your sales structure, it sounds like you have all of those. You have a tele, you have a field, you have a channel. Is there any other kind of sales structures or teams that kind of help make up that go-to-market?
No, I think those are probably, I'd say, your four, let's say, those are probably your four categories. But of course you can slice and dice things, until the cows come home. So our partners, we also like to break up into different types of partners. It could be the industry that the partner is in, but it could also be the type of arrangement that we have with a partner. Is it a joint venture that we run with a partner? Is it just a revenue sharing alliance, for instance? You've got the economic. The reason I'm mentioning that is because it affects the economics, and it also affects the control and the influence that you have over the sales channel.
Wow! When you guys, this is getting more and more interesting here. Getting appreciate the talk track. Do you feel like, how do you coach people around this idea of which sales team to use? Why have a field sales here and not there? Why have a telesales team? Why, in some country, maybe you have a stronger channel presence? Is there something you've learned you could pass on that helps companies kind of think through what is that optimal sales structure within a given market segment, within a different country, again, within a specific how do you navigate that?
I think it's driven by, I'd give you three things that impact you. The first is reach, what incremental reach do you get from it? Do you get from a particular channel? And again, I use the example. About a partner, a partner, for instance, a partner will, for instance, get you where you can't get your own salespeople yourself. That's probably for me the first factor. Trying to increase reach. The second factor that I think plays a huge thing is complexity, and I'm talking about complexity of the product and complexity of the actual. Let's say, of the sales cycle, for instance, and this is where I start talking about, the one end of the scale where we have got products which we pitch at our corporate and institutional type clients. When I say complexity, is the complexity of the solution. These are fairly complicated solutions that we are offering our clients, and you need a very high level of expertise. You're talking with clients that are going to make a long term and a significant financial commitment, and your salespeople need to be able to give them the comfort to explain to them what they're buying, explain to them how it's going to solve their business challenges. But this could be across thousands of different, there could be thousands of different variables involved, involved in one of our payment, in our issuing processing solutions.
Got it. So there is some, depends a lot on just the context and the environment. If you push more of a field or more of a tele, how complex it is, et cetera. I think at a high level, that makes sense. I'm sure as you get into the nitty gritty, it probably gets a little more complicated. On this same, point, I mean, one of the things that people talk about a lot, with operations is this enablement side, the training and the system support, some of the technology that maybe goes into it. Obviously, the technology is a world where I come from, but maybe I can just ask you a couple of questions on those too. When it comes to training and enabling this kind of massive workforce in these different countries, and you just kind of, again, take it company, country by country and segment by segment and kind of go accordingly? Or how do you start to think about kind of enabling that massive workforce?
So let's break it down. I mean, we break it down into, let's say, normal training, and then, let's call it, the training itself, you can, break down into what I call your let's call it your subject matter expertise training, as well as your, maybe your the technology or sales enablement training. In other words, training someone to use Salesforce.com, for instance, I think the challenge you have with training, again, dealing with a multi-country or multinational, multi-regional, approach is you've essentially, I spoke about 34 countries. You need to repeat something 34 times. It's not as simple as calling everyone into everyone who's in one location into a meeting room, so in other words, from that perspective, obviously, I think like a lot of companies these days, we use, online training solutions.
Got it.
Computer assisted training. So I think that does solve it, though. The challenge, of course, is, again, I'm talking about different countries, the issues that you have with languages, for instance. Sometimes you actually do need to have, it's not just a matter of translating, but your trainers need to be able to train and communicate, in multiple languages. And then similarly, the way that we deploy our solutions in these different countries are different. There are probably no two solutions that we deploy in any country that are the same. So you've got to really have bespoke training for your different businesses. So that is, that's definitely a challenge. I wish I could tell you what the best way is to do it.
It's pretty complicated.
It does become very complicated.
Oh my goodness!
Kind of aligned with that is,
I was just going to say the languages. I'm sure add obviously as well. Like you said, just not only the cultures, but then you add the languages and the capabilities, and everything's got to be potentially translated or it's somewhat translated in order to make it kind of just stick with the audience. Mm-hmm. And then, sorry, you were saying.
Well, and then the second part is, let's call it the enablement. Which I talk about more likely, the technology enablement.
The Salesforce training.
I find that is, Salesforce itself. That's always been the great thing about using Salesforce. Is the fact that it's a cloud based solution. It's really easy to deploy it globally.
Yeah.
Except. Except the challenges you have again is the issues that I spoke about, like things like training, for instance. How does one kind of create a culture of people using it? It's probably one of the biggest challenges that we've had is to create a culture of adoption of technology. It's very different if you've got people who are sitting in one space and you've got, sake of argument, 20 people sitting in a call center and they're all using it, and it almost becomes infectious. One person uses it, you can gather from your success. It kind of spreads. Somebody who's sitting remotely, for instance, or sitting in an office separate, from the rest of the business, to install that culture of adopting the technology is a challenge. You have other issues as well, and again, this is now talking about things like, language is one. Regulations, for instance, things like data across borders. You know, data across borders makes it phenomenally difficult sometimes to actually, you know, as to what information one can share. And what information one can store about clients, and especially in a global environment. You have things like this which, you know, make it less controllable. You spoke earlier on about, you know, do I get around the region? The answer is yes, but I can't get into 34 countries. Yeah. You know, I can't get into 34 countries in a year.
Right.
You know, and my staff and you know, let's call it my own team. You know, my people who work closest with me. They can't get into all the countries.
Yeah.
So you have this dependency on doing things remotely.
Right.
And that's probably what makes this more challenging than anything else.
Yeah, and some of the additional things to think through. I mean, we're getting close to kind of the end of the show here, but I did want to get just your perspective on technology. I mean, any kind of words of wisdom you'd pass on around, enablement from a technology standpoint, is there? I mean, obviously, it sounds like CRM has been pretty fundamental. Mm-hmm. Have you found some other types of, like a sales stack that's fairly consistent throughout the company, or is it really like a country by country type of thing? Or how do you think through that at a high level?
So we have a standard corporate stack. You know, there's no opportunity for any, let's call it, local solutions.
So
this particular case, you know, everything is on Salesforce. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no optionality.
Huh. So you don't kind of mess around with little, it would just get too complicated if everybody was doing their own thing. Everybody's on the same kind of organization and structure, and it makes it so there's some continuity and consistency. That feels right. That makes sense. If you're going to manage a juggernaut like you are, then you better have some consistency, I guess. Mm. Interesting. Mm.
I think the one thing, Gabe, where we have been successful, this has been a change in how we've dealt with sales technology, is we've really started focusing though on trying to, you know, no matter where in the world you are, no matter which clients you work with, big or small, and no matter, you know, which products you're selling, you know, if we our focus has been on demonstrating that sales technology like CRMs or, you know, like the CRM system we use, Salesforce, that it adds value, you know, that we can actually show, you know, in the day of the salesperson, you know how it adds value basically to every task that he has to execute. And how it ultimately helps him sell more.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that works around the world.
Yeah.
That I can tell you, every one of our salespeople wants to sell more.
I think that's a great way to kind of bring this to a close. Well, Gideon, appreciate your conversation again. Real interesting perspective, just on someone who's kind of walked the journey you have walked, managing this again kind of global organization and all the different facets that it has. If someone wants to get in touch with you or learn a little bit more about what you guys do at First Data, what's the best way to do that?
Find me on LinkedIn and connect. I'm more than happy to talk to
anyone. Well, again, Gideon, appreciate you taking your time. Certainly wish you a great holiday season. And for our audience, remember, success is just one play away.